tonight, and I'm praying for assurance everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another battle, and it's right in front of me, and I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. He said, do you remember just where I brought you from? Take a look behind you and just how far you've come. And every time that you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through?
Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you so you wouldn't fall.
Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. Says, my bills are coming due, Lord, and 6 days ain't that long. She hears a voice so still and low, it said, I've moved like that before. I'll do this little thing for you, and I'll give you so much more.
Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sins? I searched until I found you, and I'll do it all again. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sins? I searched until I found you, and I'll do it all again.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a great hand clap. Praise his name. Praise God. Praise God. How wonderful he is. You know, his promises and his strength is everlasting. Endures forever. We just love the Lord this morning. Let's all stand. We're going to go to prayer this morning. Love seeing each and every one of you. Glad you've been able to join us this morning. Those watching on the live feeds, good morning. Glad you're able to join us in whatever capacity, whether it's live now or at a later date, get a chance to watch it. We just love and appreciate each and every one of you. If you have a prayer request this morning, just show by the raising of your hand. If you have a praise report, let's lift that other hand up and just give the Lord all the glory and honor. Lord, we just love and praise you. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us, dear Lord, for this opportunity you've given us just to be in your house and in your name. Lord, as we come together now, may we be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, ready to worship you. Lord, ready to receive your word, dear Lord, as you bring forth to us. Lord, as your word is open and it is read, dear Lord, may we give you all attention. And, dear Lord, may we just let you just fill us with your Holy Spirit, with the Holy Ghost, dear Lord. Lord, we thank you for healing. We thank you for the praise reports. Lord, we thank you for every situation going forth. Lord, now you've seen the hands that were raised. Lord, you know the depths of our hearts, dear Lord, for those that are in need. Those that just need your touch, your healing, your provisions, dear Lord, your guidance. And, dear Lord, for those that as we reach out to you now, the Lord, that just need to find you. And the Lord, to come to that understanding that you are their Lord and Savior, the Lord, that you love them, and the Lord, that you died for them, dear Lord. That includes each and every one of us, dear Lord. And we just thank you now for this moment. Dear Lord, we ask you to bless our pastor, bless his family as they bring forth your word and do your work. And Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Amen. Let's give him another hand clap of praise. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's so worthy to be praised at all times. Amen. While you're standing, turn to page 130. I never shall forget the day. Just love the Lord. If you haven't, remember that day, how Jesus just came into your life and how you surrendered to Him. I never shall forget the day. Just love the Lord this morning. If you get a chance, be sure and tell somebody this morning how much Jesus loves them and how that wonderful feeling is that when He came to be our Lord and Savior, how He just changed our life completely and put that smile back in our lives, and that peace in our heart and our mind, Lord, that understanding that He is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Great I Am. Praise God. Love each and every one of you this morning. We're going to go ahead and get ready and take up our morning offering. Don't want to just let the Lord just minister to each and every one of us. Adabel, don't forget their time change. They will be starting at 6 p.m. That'll be this Tuesday, right, Miss Linda? Praise God. At 6 p.m., Adabel will be. So we're just looking forward to a mighty move in the ladies' ministry also, and our Overcomers Outreach, all the other ministry reaches out. We just love and appreciate each and every one of you. Brother Thomas, if you'd ask the Lord just to bless our offering, please.
Sing this song quite often, but if you really think of the message of it, are you thankful for God's mercy this morning? You know, as I look around in the church this morning, I can see the different faces. Like Sister Connie, I'm thankful that she's here today and that God has touched her body, and Brother Les, just the ones that have been through some trying times lately. I'm thankful for God's mercy and that He loves us and He extends it to us. Y'all worship with us this morning.
Your mercy did for me. Yeah.
Holy Ghost. Amen. Come on down, Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Good to see you here this morning. I mean, he's glad Jesus is here. I mean, he's glad Jesus is in control. How many knows you don't have to worry? Amen. Just put it in his hand. Amen. Come on down, Holy Ghost. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. So good to see each and every one of you. Very strange coming out from stage right. I usually come out from stage left. But if I'm anything, I'm versatile. Amen. Praise God. So good to see you. Good to see our cousins from Florida and from Alabama. All right. Give them a hand. How many knows that wherever you go, Jesus is there? Whatever you face, Jesus is there. Amen. I was promised that years and years ago when I was just a little boy. My grandmother told me, she said, Jesus is with you everywhere that you go. Even on the playground, he was with me. It took me years later till I really found out what that really meant, is to have an inward relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be on the mountain with you. I'll be in the valley with you. I've been on the mountain with Jesus. And I've been in the valley so low. Oh, but not one time has he failed me. Hallelujah. When to him with my trouble I go. So let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever, ever leave me alone. For without you, I could never. How many times we thought we were all alone in this world? We thought friends, family forsaken us. We was in a place where we just didn't know whether to go on, quit, go back. Only to realize that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. Love him with all of my heart, and I can't make it without him. But I do know that through him all things are possible. Amen. Hallelujah. You remember the mountain? You remember the valleys? I've been on the mountain with Jesus. What a glorious time. And I've been in some valleys so low. But I love this. But not one time has he failed me. When to him with my troubles I go. So let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever, ever leave me alone. For without you I could never. No, never make heaven my home. Sing a chorus with me. Just let me walk with you, Jesus, and don't ever, ever leave me alone.
No, never make heaven my home.
But how many knows we're not without Him? Amen. Give the Lord praise in the house this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the book of Hebrews, the faith chapter. Chapter number 11, beginning with verse number 24 this morning in the book of Hebrews. Chapter number 11, beginning with verse number 24. Amen. When you get there, just wave to the Lord. Amen. Praise God. The Bible says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essayed to do were drowned. Can we bow our heads? Dear Heavenly Father, again, we just love you and we thank you, God, for your blessing, for your anointing, for your grace and mercy. Father, for those who have gathered here today, Father, I pray your protection upon them. Pray, God, that you would just help us to be in one mind and one accord. God, receptive to your word and to your will. Pray that, God, you would speak to our hearts this morning. God, lift us up, encourage us as only you can do. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you now, God, to anoint these lips of clay that I may be able, God, to convey what I feel that you've laid upon my heart this morning. And we'll give you praise and honor and glory, for we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. God bless you. Give the Lord a hand. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I love faith. Amen. I love the 11th chapter of Hebrews. But I want to come at it from just a different way, if I could, this morning, and entitle this message, and if you'll bear with me, I promise, with the help of the Lord, I will get to my point. But my message this morning in the way of a title would be, Where the Enemy Can't Survive. I want you to think on that for just a moment. Where the enemy can't and cannot survive. Moses was a man of faith. We understand and know that. The Bible explains his ability to put his faith and trust in God. And how many knows that God spoke to Moses? Amen. He heard the voice of God. Before I get too deep, I want us to go to the book of Psalm, the 29th Psalm. David, too, heard the voice of God. Can I get a testimony? Have you ever been to where you needed a voice from God? Amen. You may have sought direction from other places. You may have asked some people that you have the utmost confidence in. But how many know sometimes it only applies that we need to hear the voice of God? Many, many times. Nothing else will suffice but hearing from God. David wrote in the 29th Psalm, beginning with verse number 3, "The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth every one speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." God spoke to Moses. God began to speak to Moses at a very early time. We know the history of Moses, but I want to focus our attention this morning from the book of Exodus, chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. God speaking to Moses. He said, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm, and with great judgments, and I will take you to me a few for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." Amen. Now I want to get to the meat of my message this morning, if I could. Very rarely has God kept me so in tune to a message as He has dealt with me upon this particular message. Normally God will speak, I will research, I will pray, I will seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit, try to formulate something and just ask God to be with me. And usually, that's about the extent of it. But as I begin to dwell on the Word of God, and more so than the delivering power of God, I would dare say at this particular time, I'm a little concerned that the church may have forgotten about the delivering power of God. Now, we haven't forgot God. We haven't forgotten His blessings. We haven't forgotten His Word. We haven't forgotten the salvation that so graciously God ordained for us through Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. But in what I'm hearing and what I am observing, it seems like, and I'm not blaming the world as much as I'm talking to the church, it seems like the church has somehow forgotten the delivering power of God. Do we not know that the voice of God that spoke to Moses, do we not realize that the voice of God that spoke to David for him to write down those wonderful words of exhortation of how powerful the voice of God is still alive and well today, and that voice is trying to tell us, "I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to make a way where there is no way. Don't worry, don't fret. Don't you understand? I've never failed you yet, and I'm not going to fail now." I believe it's time that we the church, we the people that are born again through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, begin to let others know, hey, God's going to deliver. God's going to take care. God's going to bless His people. Don't turn and see what evil is abounding. See what God's amazing grace do. God spoke to Moses. Now, let us go to the wilderness journey. You know, the plagues have already come and hit Egypt very, very hard. Melted the heart of Pharaoh. I don't know that it melted the heart of Pharaoh as it melted his desire mainly. His heart seemed to still be hardened. But he agreed to let the children of Israel go. Not because he wanted to, but because he was tired of getting the plagues. Amen. And finally, the plague that did the straw that broke the camel's back was the death of the firstborn in Egypt, except for those who had the blood applied. That's a different story and a different message, but it's good anyway. So now we find the children of Israel have come out of bondage. Here they are, amen, on their wilderness journey, following the promise, amen. How many knows that we don't see the promise right away? Come on, children of God. Sometimes we don't. But we got to go by faith, amen. We got to say, you know what? I know it's down the road somewhere. I may not see it physically, but I know it's coming, amen. That's the hope that keeps me going, amen. I get up every morning and say, I may not see it yet, but praise God, this could be the day that the Lord comes back. Hey, I begin to watch the eastern sky, amen, more rapidity than I have been used to. In fact, Wednesday night, I looked at the eastern sky, and I made sure, I told someone, I got my bearings straight, but the eastern sky looked totally different than the rest of the sky. Somebody said, what a coincidence. No, 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 no. Amen. God's getting ready. God's getting ready. Amen. I believe every word of the Bible, and I believe He's coming back for a church. Don't you? Amen. If you believe that and you're going with me, clap your hands. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now the children of Israel are freed from bondage, and now they're on their wilderness journey. Something has transpired in Egypt. Pharaoh's heart has been hardened. Now you Bible readers understand and know that this was not a coincidence. Because the Bible tells me that God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. You see, God's so much further ahead of us, we don't understand all the time what He's doing. That's the reason we have to walk by faith and live by faith and exercise in faith. Because if God tried to explain to us, we'd go, duh. I would. God, how are you going to do that? You don't have to know how. You just have to know that I am. Glory to God. Because that's what He told Moses. Tell him I am. Glory to God. I still believe in an I am God. I still believe that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you and I could ever even think or ask. Amen. So now the children of Israel are freed, and God has hardened Pharaoh's heart. A change of mind. And Pharaoh says, prepare the chariots. 600 of the chariots. All my mighty men. You know, I see a type and shadow here. See a type and shadow when we gave our life to the Lord. Boy, we come out of Egypt. Praise God. Leaving all my troubles behind. Amen. I'm going to a better place. A land that flows with milk and honey. Glory to God. No more troubles. No more trials. No more sickness. No more affliction. Everything. Everything's going to be rosy. And the enemy is sitting there preparing 600 chariots to chase you down. To let you know that it's not a rosy path. But how many knows there is a God? Nothing gets past God. Hallelujah. Brother Eddie, why would God harden Pharaoh's heart? Because He had just let the children of Israel go free. Now why would you allow Him, not only allow Him, but make Him harden His heart to go and chase them down? Because God had told Moses, wait till you see what I'm going to do to Pharaoh. Hallelujah. And it didn't happen in the palace. And it didn't happen in the land of Egypt where He was in control. But it happened on God's turf. Can I tell you this morning that sometimes God is not going to bless you on your turf? He wants you on His turf. He wants you on His terms. He wants you submissive. He wants you obedient. He wants you in tune to the Spirit. Amen. So God can get the honor and the glory. Man. So here come the chariots. Man, I believe they're in double time. I believe that probably off in the distance the children of Israel saw the cloud of dust that was coming. They begin to panic. Amen. Don't tell me you've never panicked. Don't ever tell me you ain't ever questioned God. Don't ever tell me you said, Lord, why in the world did you save me to go through all of this turmoil? I had it better when I was in sin. Weren't there any graves in Egypt? If He's going to let us die, why didn't He let us die back there? Can I just pause to tell you, I'd a whole lot rather die in victory than die in bondage. Amen. Because when I die in victory, I know where I'm headed. Amen. I know where I'm going. Where there'll be no more bondage. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more pain. No sickness. And praise God, no more death. Amen. But here comes Pharaoh. And I thought it really, really quite interesting that Pharaoh himself was coming. He didn't have to. He could have sent his army. But how many knows when God hardened his heart, He put such vindictiveness into his mind that he was going to be responsible for bringing the children of Israel back into Egyptian bondage. But God had news for him. Amen. You haven't seen it yet, but God's got news for you. Amen. You haven't witnessed it yet, but that doesn't mean God's not aware of it. That doesn't mean God's not right now with a plan going to fix that situation in your life. God hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and here comes the chariots. Now the children of Israel, listen, are surrounded by mountains, a sea, and the enemy. Reminds me of ourselves sometimes. And you say, Brother Eddie, how? Because we pray, Lord, I just don't see any way out of this. God, you got to make a way. We ought to be praying, God, you are the way. Glory to God. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. God, I can't come out of this, but you can bring me out of this. And Pharaoh's thinking, got him right where I want him. Got him right where I want him. Can I pause for just a moment to bring back a little memory lane? Back in grammar school, when I went to grammar school, they had recess. I don't know if they still have recess or not. But our recess, man, we were playing. We were playing army. We were doing all kinds of things. And, you know, on my playground, don't know about yours, but there were certain people who were bullies. Anybody else go to school like that? And this bully would seek out the frailest, weakest person. It wasn't me this time. Quit laughing. I've been there, but it wasn't me this time. Person that he could. And there was this child, undergrown, very timid, very shy. Don't know. Didn't realize then. We just thought he was different. Didn't realize something in his past, something in his family. I don't know what attributed to that, but he's very meek and mild. And this bully sought him out every day at recess to pick on him, to physically abuse him. You know, and we just kind of thought, well, you know how kids are. And one day this little timid, shy boy ran. And back in grammar school, there was this little wing of the building here that they had added on. There were steep steps that come down. This was not a part of the original building. And over behind it was like a little, for lack of a better term, like a little covey. It was a little square shape where the building was all the way around and formed a brick wall on all sides. The little timid boy had backed himself into the corner of these three walls. And here come the bully. There was no place to run. And we thought, oh no, this ain't going to be good. So the bully approaches with his rants and raves. And he starts in on him, you know, tapping him on the head and all that. And all of a sudden, we saw something rise up in that little shy, awkward boy. And he came at the bully with arms swinging and feet kicking and every ounce of strength that he had within him. He fought his way out of the corner because he knew he had no other option. Church, when you get backed into a corner, it's time to come out swinging in the name of the Lord and use the power that God has instilled in us. How many know the greater is he that is within us? Need that's in the world. And needless to say, the bully left him alone. Now the children of Israel were surrounded by mountains and a sea and the enemy. You know what Pharaoh said? You see, the enemy can only see what is right before him. God sees the end. God sees the victory. God sees the deliverance. And Pharaoh said, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. Whew. God began to speak to me. I began to see the same concept today. Many of us feel like we are entangled in the land. We are entangled in the strife.
We are entangled in the fear. We are entangled in the animosity and all of the things that are going around us. And understandably so, when we look through eyes of flesh, that's exactly what we see. And Pharaoh, the enemy, says that now the wilderness has shut them in. Got nowhere else to go but out. We got nowhere else to go but through the power of God. Have you ever felt that way? Understand, this is what the children of Israel had to be encouraged by Moses. And it took Moses, a man of faith, to encourage them. No, your victory's not behind you. Your victory's not back in Egypt. Your victory is ahead. But Moses, we see mountains. We see the sea, which they were actually camped out by the sea. That's a whole other story. Many of us are still camped out by our victory. I'll say it again. Y'all didn't get that. I said many of us are still camped out right by our victory, looking at the very thing that can deliver us, but just sitting there camped out on the very thing that was going to deliver them. And at the mountains and the sea wasn't enough. Here come Pharaoh and his 600 chariots bearing down. But you know what? God gives them time. When he calls that pillar of fire, he calls that cloud of smoke to separate them. They were, you know, they were very, very close. But that cloud of smoke, significant of the Holy Spirit that protects us. Thank God. But somebody else say, praise the Lord. Have you ever felt like you were protected by the Holy Spirit? Amen. Many, many times. In fact, on a daily basis, I have to rely on the protection of the Holy Spirit. So, now God's plan begins to unfold. And I wrestled, not with God. I've learned better. I can't win. But I've wrestled with what to do. What can I call this? Because everything I think of, and then God would lead me somewhere else. And it was all about deliverance. Now, I don't know and didn't know who was going to be here today, who's not going to be here today, but God did. And I don't know what you've been facing, but God does. And I don't know what's warring in your mind. Maybe nothing. Maybe there is somebody here today that just said, you know what, I feel shut in. I feel all alone. You know, I'm living for the Lord, and this is the thanks I get. Maybe you're feeling like that, and Satan is just letting you know that's exactly what God thinks about you. He don't love you. But the whole time, God is formulating a plan. You and I may not can see it, but that doesn't matter. He's formulating a plan. So here they are, and Moses, what are we going to do? You know, the less of the two evils. Do we try to climb the mountains? Do we try to swim the sea? Or do we try to wait on Pharaoh when we know what's going to happen if he comes? He's not going to take any prisoners. He's just going to annihilate us all. And Moses has to hear from God. I mean, you know, sometimes you need to cut things off, stop up your ears, and hear from God. Sometimes your best friends won't give you the right advice. Amen. Sometimes you put the most confidence in folks and they'll tell you something else. But if you listen to the voice of God, God will assure us and has assured us that He is in control. It may not look like it, but He's in control. You see, God pointed out something to me. The Red Sea was not only a device for the deliverance of Israel, but also a device to rid the enemy of Israel. What do you mean, brother? Your very blessing may be what's about to drown the enemy in your life. I need to repeat that again. Your blessing of deliverance, it may be, is what God's going to use to drown the enemy, because the enemy cannot survive in my blessing. I won't let him. God won't let him. He brought me too far. He's answered too many prayers. I know He's a God of miracle ability. I know He's a delivering God. I know He's a protecting God. I know He's a healing God. I know that He's a God that will never fail. And I know, amen, that the enemy cannot survive in my blessing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because when I begin to think about my blessing, when I begin to testify of my blessing, Satan has to leave me alone. Glory to God. Because my blessing gives me that ability to say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Get thee behind me. God's going to take you where the enemy can't survive. God, I don't understand this wilderness. Dear Heavenly Father, I don't understand this being completely surrounded with fear and obstacles and mountains and enemies. I don't know where you're taking me. And God just seemingly just impressed in my heart. You may not know it, and you may not see it, but I am taking you to a place where the enemy cannot survive. But let me tell you, when God opens up that door, you're going to have to go through it. When God divides that sea, you're going to have to walk through it. It may seem scary when you look to the right and you see a wall of water that seemingly is not held back by anything that you can visibly see. You look to your left in the same situation. And you look to the behind you, and here comes those 600 chariots. Listen, I want you to understand. You're just going in to your victory, and Satan, the enemy, is coming in right behind you.
God, could you not keep him on the other side?
No. Because I got plans for the enemy. You just keep walking. You just keep walking. Don't look at the wall of water on your right. Don't look at the wall of water on your left. And certainly don't look back at the enemy that's approaching. Look at your goal. Look at your destination. Look at your victory. Look at your blessing. I believe with all of my heart that every person under the sound of my voice could lift their hand and say, yes, I have been blessed. Yes, I am blessed. I know that my God is on my side, and I know God's going to take care of me. Please help me to understand. I don't have to look to the left or the right. I certainly don't have to look behind me, but I keep my eyes on the goal. And my goal is not here on this earth. My goal is a heavenly mansion that Jesus Christ Himself has prepared. I may go. Amen. So, here's the children of Israel. Listen and see if this doesn't sound like God. I want you to get up, and I want you to go into the midst of the sea.
But God, we'll drown. We can't take a whole multitude. We can't take our family. We can't take our belongings. We can't do this, God. But God said, tell them to go forward.
Listen. There's a time when God says, stand still. There's a time when God says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But can I tell you, when God's light turns green, don't be like that woman who sat in front of me and thought about it. And I said, lady, it's not going to get any greener. But how hesitant are we sometimes? When God says, go to the midst of the sea.
Ooh, Lord, I ain't got a boat.
Amen. It's all right. Moses, stretch your rod out over the sea. And however, the procrastinators, those that are doubters, and those that cannot get in the spiritual realm of God have tried to explain that all of my life. They blamed it on everything. A little little crevice or a little rise in the sea that Moses and him just happened to know where it was. But understand, if that be the case, that little rise and that little bit of water overran 600 chariots and killed all of the enemy. That's even greater a miracle. I believe what the Bible said. I believe that the walls of water were on either side of them, and they walked on dry ground. Hallelujah. Because the God that I serve don't halfway do anything. Amen. He's able to do all of these miracles. And he made a miracle of escape for the children of Israel in the midst of the sea. Doesn't sound like deliverance, but walk in the midst of the sea and tell Israel to go forward. Amen. Many of us, please don't be offended by what I'm about to do, because I've done it myself. Here's the bank. There's the sea. Lord, in the name of Jesus, move the sea. Because I don't want to go by faith. I just want you to move it. And I know you can. But if I move the sea, then Israel or the Egyptians that pursue you are not going to have a place where I can take care of them in the way that I formulated this plan. So I want you to walk by faith through the sea. So here they go. And they're walking. Now y'all just pretend that y'all are fish. And as I walk through, you know, y'all are trying to get to me. And have you ever seen a fish up against a glass wall? It goes. Yeah. They're not making fun of you. They're saying, "What in the world is happening?" Let me tell you symbolically, you know who those fish are? They're the unbelievers out there. How in the world can them people walk right through the sea? How in the world can them people say God is delivered when all of this we see? And they're looking at you with fish eyes, but we know that God is making a way in the midst of the sea. Somebody here today needs to grasp that and understand it, because you said there's no way. You said it can't get any better, but I'm here to tell you by the word of God, God's going to put a path in the midst of the sea, in the midst of your problem, in the midst of your situation. Well, if you believe that, give God praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No, God didn't make the sea go away. He just divided it. Whew. And here the children of Israel were marching through on dry ground. So here comes Pharaoh and his 600 chariots. And Hebrews tells us that the Egyptians assayed to go too. You know what assayed means? They tried. Can I shake us up a little bit? Faithless people cannot go where faith people go. They may try, but they can't do it. Because they think it's in their ability. I learned a long time ago, I can't do nothing without God. But through Him, I can do all things. So those that are faithless are not going to be able to go into your blessing, into your faith, and into your victory. Because they're not walking by faith. So the Egyptians tried to do the same. Amen. I'm just thinking of all the walls that God has torn down in my life. And I thought about, all walls are not necessarily bad. The walls of Jericho were bad. They were keeping the enemy inside. When God said, told Joshua, he said, I need you to go in and take care of that city of Jericho. And he marched around the walls, and God, well, the wall made the walls fall flat. But the walls of the Red Sea were actually beneficial. God, these walls are enclosing around about me. No, they're not. They're making a way for you, a path. Oh, God's speaking to somebody. Because I'm not making any sense out of this, but I hope God is. I hope God's letting you know that whatever you're going through, amen, you can be delivered. That whatever faith, amen, that you can muster up and put in His power, God's going to see you through. God's going to make a way for you. So all walls are not bad. Some walls are necessary. Some walls are needful for protection, not as obstacles. So Pharaoh says, they can do it. I can do it. Pharaoh wasn't going by faith. No. He was going faith in his own ability. So here they come. 600 chariots into the same path that the children of Israel, that God had prepared to deliver them. And the Bible tells us that the chariot wheels drave into the ground. All of a sudden, amen, all those chariots begin to get stuck. Couldn't go in dry ground. Amen. That's true. In dry, the ground that the children of Israel just walked on. And now it's too muddy for the children of for the Egyptian army. So as they're trying to get unstuck, as they're trying to move forward, the children of Israel, the last few, get out on the other side. And they're glorifying and praising God. If you'll read the book, amen, Moses' song, and they begin to talk about and sing about the deliverance of God. Amen, and rightfully so. How many of you sang praises just after God brought you out of something? You know what we say when He does?
Well, I knew He was going to do it all the time.
No, you didn't. If you didn't know that, you wouldn't have worried a bit when that sea was in front of you. You just walk right on through. Amen. But we're human. We're human. Well, we can praise Him like everything after the fact. We talk about after the fact faith. That ain't faith. Faith is before the fact. Calling it done when you can't see it. Amen. That's faith. So as the last of the children of Israel get out and they're glorifying and praising God, God takes care of it. Because He is not going to let the enemy survive in your blessing. Church, I'm going to try to bring it to a close as the waters begin to come back. Understand, and I may have said this again, but it bears repeating. God is using the same obstacle that was before the children of Israel to take care of the enemy that was against them. God, I don't know why I'm going through this. It's not for your punishment. It's because I'm going to drown that enemy.
Whoa.
If I can't say it, let the Holy Spirit speak it to you. Amen. I am going to drown the enemy in what you're walking through right now. Your deliverance is going to come his demise. Amen. Glory to God. Because he can't survive in your praise. He can't survive in your worship. He can't survive in your victory. He can't survive in your deliverance. He can't survive in your healing. When the doctor said, I can't do it, God stepped in and said, I'll do it. Well, give Him praise if it's ever affected you. Give Him praise if you've ever seen God undertake when nothing else would work. Man, God uses Israel's blessing to drown the very enemy, because the enemy can't survive in your blessing. Hallelujah. How many knows? And I want to speak this with all sincerity and all compassion and love that I possibly can. I mean, knows that many times we allow the enemy to survive. When we don't take away the very things that he feeds off of. Amen. Instead of filling ourselves with the Spirit of God, the Word of God, standing and living and operating in faith, so many times it's doubt, fear, and all these other things, which absolutely enables the enemy. He feeds off of your fear. He feeds off of your faithlessness. He feeds off of that animosity and anxiety that arise with us when we see what's happening, amen, and we don't look beyond that and see God's deliverance. Why do we let the enemy survive when we know how to take away his energy? I'll leave you with this. I have a rain barrel at my house. And from the expressions on your face, what in the world has that got to do with the message? I ain't finished yet. The rain barrel is to catch rainwater. It's down there on my building where there's an awning, and the water goes in there and it goes into my rain barrel. Why? Because the rain barrel that catches the water, I dip out and I feed my roses and some bushes and some tomato plants with the rainwater. Well, the rainwater is rained some in the past so much that the rain in the barrel overflows. So I put some buckets behind it so to catch the overflow. And I did this because it helps me so I don't have to use so much of the water from the house. But I realized something. Every time I go down there around the shelter, I get bit so many times by these aggravating mosquitoes. Or as we refer to them in the South, skeeters. And I fuss about it. And I spray. And I go in the house and I rub down with alcohol and all of this stuff that's supposed to take the itch out of the bites. And boy, no, I'm still scratching all of it. And then I'm thinking, you don't have to allow this. Because if I understand correctly, one of the greatest breeding places for mosquitoes is standing water. Not moving water, but standing water. Lord have mercy, God's given me another message. Church don't need to be standing water. I know y'all said, just finish this one. So Tony was down at the house last night and he said, what are you doing? I'm watering my bushes and fighting mosquitoes. So we come to the conclusion that if we emptied the water buckets and turned them upside down, then the mosquitoes wouldn't have a place to breed. How simple is that? Church, if we take the buckets and turn them upside down, that has been catching that stagnant, stinking water day in and day out, where the enemy, where the mosquitoes live and exist and multiply, amen, then we won't have to go around. Because the enemy can't survive in your blessing. Glory to God. If you don't hear nothing else I've said today, take that. Take that. Live by it. Trust in the Word of God. Amen. We have a greater power than anything that's in this world. Would you stand? Hallelujah. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Every saint of God praying. As we reminisce on the many times that God has brought us through situations and obstacles and barriers and mountains. All these many things that God has delivered us from. Maybe there's someone here today that feels like they're in that valley that's surrounded by mountains and a sea and all these kind of obstacles that they're backed into a corner. Let me remind you that that's when God likes to work. When you can't get out on your own, when nothing else works, God likes to get the honor and glory. Again, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if there's one that's struggling, there's one that needs reassurance, if there's one that needs your spirit revived, this altar is open. And let me also say, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you've never made that profession of faith. You never asked Him to come in to be Lord and Savior of your life. This altar is open for you.
Amen. God is here. If not, continue to pray. Pray for our land. Pray for our churches. Pray for those ministers that stand and try to somehow, some way, point us to the right thing and get our minds off of the troubles and on God. God bless you. We love you. Have a very, very blessed day. Brother Jim, would you come and dismiss us with a word of prayer? May God bless you.
Hallelujah.